Hey, I was raised in a small Pittsburgh Common Podcast number 338. It's a small but very knowledgeable group here tonight.
I think that's the
when
first
are they getting here?
I think that's the first time you got all the way through without laughing or screwing it up in like 200 episodes.
Well, thanks, Pat. I did have my eyes closed, so that helped.
Oh, okay. That's what she said.
Okay.
No, you get it.
So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Pat.
Dave 1 and Dave 2 weren't able to make it. And Adam, I don't know.
We thought we might have a special guest, but...
Yeah, he bailed on us.
He said no.
He's too cool for this. It happens. Probably read more than all of us combined.
Probably did. Yeah.
Yep.
Swoops in, brings beer.
Must be nice.
He offered you.
Swiftly leaves.
So, big shout out to my realtor, Jim, who pulled me off the ledge today. So, yeehaw. Trying to think. Comic news. I've started to see some announcement stuff, but...
It feels like there's going to be...
Something's coming down the pike. Now, Steve Orlando, I think, is doing a new Martian Manhunter book. I think it was Steve Orlando.
Yeah.
Rob Williams did the last one.
Okay. Yeah, stuff has been trickling out, but yeah, silly me, I didn't write it down.
Well, New York Comic Con is...
Well, Baltimore's this weekend. New York's very soon, yeah.
There's talk about Disney streaming service having MCU-based TV shows.
Okay.
Like, they're talking about a Loki show and a Scarlet Witch
show.
Okay,
I did see that, yeah. Yeah, I saw something about it in passing. Yeah. Yeah, DC's thing started up. Still trying to figure out how to get it without paying for it. So.
Are they giving you an answer on it?
No. Basically, it had to go up the chain because it's crossing the branches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, crossing the different companies. So
it sure is a shame that we don't live in an electronic age where instantaneously you can communicate with people throughout a company, and then
I think.
Yeah, Pony Express and whatnot. That sucks.
My inbox currently has like 7,000 messages.
Wait, that's not my car.
No. I think they just pulled up.
Okay.
I get mad with
somebody in my car.
Too hard.
Did the Henry Cavill stuff happen last week before the podcast? Or
I think that was after, but now there's talk that it's all... fraud.
It was all kind of like planted to gauge interest and...
But it still goes back to there isn't a Superman movie on deck, so...
Right, so he wasn't up for anything. Right.
Unless you're going to have Superman make an appearance in Supergirl.
Well, I guess I didn't realize that they wanted him for a Shazam cameo, but he turned it down because they couldn't come to terms on the money for it.
It's a cameo. Throw him a couple million, move on. In the grand scheme of things, I think the problem is that has to be a smaller budget movie. Like, that's not...
Shazam?
Yeah, that's not going to make Batman money. So, and that's okay, but you don't give it a Batman budget.
Yeah, I think it'll make Batman money, but I think it'll still make a lot of money. I mean, I don't know.
It looks fun.
It looks a lot of fun. I hope that movie and Aquaman do really well.
I think Aquaman's going to have a problem, though.
Why?
Aquaman looks good. I want to go see it. But the amount of special effects that are in that, and what the budget had to be for that, that movie's got to make a lot of money to break even. Because it's, you know, they're underwater for half the movie.
Yeah, I mean, you could say about any sci-fi movie, like Star Trek.
No.
I think if it makes $400 million, it's going to be profitable. Not what they want, but it's that's probably where it gets profitable.
Well, some of these movies, the profit comes in when they get to write it off is a failure. And if that's what they want to do, then that's fine. But with DC, it makes less sense because Warner Brothers owns DC, so it's not like, okay, we got to get a movie into production to keep the rights. They can hold off and do whatever.
Yeah, but I think enough people saw the previous movie, the Justice League movie, to get a feel for, you know, Momoa as Aquaman, to where they would, even if they thought Aquaman is a lame character, to have an interest in his version of the character. And the trailer looks, you know, fun and exciting, so, I don't know, I think it'll do.
I hope it does. I mean, it looks interesting. Yeah. I guess we'll know in 2.5 months.
Yeah, wow, that comes out in November, doesn't it?
December?
Yeah, oh.
Beginning of December, I think. Which I'm kind of surprised we haven't gotten a second trailer for it.
Although New York.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Or does Warner's have another big movie coming out soon?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. But I wouldn't be surprised if at New York there was something.
Yeah.
What other movie, like, they have that and they have Shazam, but the only other movie that they have in production right now is Wonder Woman, right?
The Joker movie, I thought.
That's just started production. With they released the picture of Joaquin Phoenix as Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
So, you sound very apprehensive. So here,
I think we talked about this before. I don't want to know where the Joker comes
from. So, okay. I agree with you. Let me ask you a question. Do you like Tim Burton's 89 Batman movie?
I do.
Did seeing Jack Nicholson as Jack Napier and becoming the Joker ruin that movie for you?
No, but to be fair, I was less into the comics then, so my feelings are stronger now than they were then.
I know,
but... And especially then, it was like, I got to see Batman on the screen. It was enough.
I guess, for me, if they do something in a movie, I can tell myself, well, that's just an interpretation or a take on the character. Whereas if they do it in comics and say it's in continuity, then it's like, whoa, no, that's like... Yeah. That's for real now.
Well, but like, in The Dark Knight, where every time he told the story, it changed.
Which is great.
Okay with that, because if you keep it to where no one really knows, it's scarier
than
that.
Or if they do something like they did in The Killing Joke, where they tell the story, but then there's kind of a, you know wink and nod at the end, like, was this really the thing? So. Yeah.
And then he gets killed by Batman at the end.
I would be very surprised if they say, like, definitively, this is the, you know, definitive origin of the Joker. But I don't know. I think I really find the casting of Joaquin Phoenix in this role interesting. It's not an inspired casting. I think this will be a good movie. But
I mean, he's a good actor.
He is. But he's a good actor, and he's wacky enough to where I think he could do, like, a really crazy Joker.
Yeah, and that's... You almost got to think, you know, how... You don't want to go Jack Nicholson because it's already been done. But you don't want to go Heath Ledger. Like, where do you kind of play this?
I think he'll be more like a Heath Ledger. I would say, you don't want to go Nicholson because only Nicholson could play the Joker that way. You don't want to go Jared Leto because, I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's...
But I think Heath Ledger's Joker is probably closer to what this will be like.
And I, you know, you can also always play it off the, you know, it sounds like this is pre-Batman Joker, so...
I don't know, because Joaquin Phoenix is older.
Right, but they're having Thomas Wayne in the movie. So there's definitely going to be some pre-Batman Joker in there.
Well, unless they're just showing some sort of, like, flashbacks,
yeah. Yeah.
I would love to see... I guess it wouldn't be Flashpoint, because if they did that, then you have to have the Martha Wayne Joker.
Yeah.
But I would love to see Thomas Wayne Batman in the movie.
Well, Earth 2, Thomas Wayne was Batman.
Maybe it's an Earth 2 movie? Out of continuity, because it's different... Well, that'd be fun, Pat.
I don't remember what the deal was with Bruce and that, but Bruce was alive in Earth 2.
Was he? I thought Bruce was killed. I'm not sure. You were reading that book. I wasn't reading it.
It all blends together at this point, but I thought he was still alive.
Regardless, I would love to see...
No, he was, because Huntress was his daughter.
I would love to see the Thomas Wayne bat suit on screen.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Right, Colin?
Yes, with the red.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then there was a trailer for Captain Marvel.
Yep.
Yep.
That I got wrong. You guys set me straight.
Yeah, you got that one wrong.
But we think you got it wrong. Okay.
I thought that they were trying to allude to some things where there was a question whether she was human or alien or a hybrid or something. And you guys seemed to think that it was just she was human and...
Yeah, I feel like she was human, Air Force, something happened. She ended up, you know...
I think they could get away with making her a hybrid. Like, either her mother or her father were down here kind of secretly a Kree. That would be okay. That would actually kind of make more sense as to why she was able to get powers.
Yeah.
As opposed to a straight human being experimented on. That's...
We'll see.
Yeah.
I thought the trailer was good. I thought the trailer definitely evoked a lot of the, like, Kelly Sue DeConnick, Captain Marvel run. Yep. Even the poster had, like, the same tagline that her book had. The one thing that was noticeable was that this trailer definitely wasn't as, like, jokey as other MCU movies or trailers have been.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, other than beating on the old lady, but, you know, that's going to happen. She said Martha, so.
No, that's when you
don't. I'm excited to have Coulson back in the movies.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is good.
To our Nick Fury.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if she's the one that takes it out.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Nick Fury with the pager that we saw in Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
The thing
he's cutting
lasts.
Yeah.
Well, early 90s.
Blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
Perfectly tells you exactly when the movie's taking place, like you said, Pat.
Yep.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
Got a good beat. You dance to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Then Avengers 4, is that May? June?
That would make sense, May.
It's supposed to be May, but they already said that that may get pushed up to April.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like they did with the other one.
Oh, okay. Cool. It's exciting stuff.
It is.
So I guess that means we'll also get a title at some point.
Avengers 4.
Death.
Team Hawkeye. Team Hawkeye.
Pizza Dog rules.
Mm.
Yeah, they'll have both Hawkeyes and confuse everybody.
Oh, yeah.
If they introduce Pizza Dog in this movie, that'd be awesome. The whole movie will just be from the perspective of Pizza Dog.
That would be great.
Get the Pizza Dog captions. Make a billion T-dollars.
Possibly.
You would love it. You, Colin.
I would,
The audience, but you.
Yes.
You would love it.
I like dogs.
His favorite scene in Guardians is when Cosmo made an appearance.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cosmo and Howard at the same time? That was awesome. Or no, was it?
Howard showed up at the end.
Yeah.
In the after credits scene.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
But then he was in Guardians, too, in the actual movie. When they were on the planet with all the hookers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I tried to forget that one.
What, Guardians 2?
The hookers.
No. Well, yeah. I don't know anything about that, yeah.
How was Batman Day?
Batman Day was really good, actually.
You didn't, like, promote it all.
I didn't promote it because I got a little annoyed when it was revealed that the only reason they were doing it was to promote their new line of exclusive products with GameStop. They're doing exclusive action figures, statues, and prints of Jim Lee stuff at GameStop. And when I saw that, I got a little annoyed, especially because they really didn't send us anything. We were able to buy White Knight 1. Well, that's great, except there's no trade for another month. And then
trade still hasn't come out yet?
No.
I'm surprised.
No, because they've been advertising that in the box. Hmm.
Yeah. So it was like, I feel like we were an afterthought. You know, there was no, we could have rebought masks and stuff like that, but that seemed, so it was just kind of, I didn't play it up, and then I just kind of got annoyed. But we did do a Batman sale, and we had a really good day, so. Better day than my anniversary day, so.
Really?
Well, that
better
was,
weather, I guess.
Better weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, I did not make it down here for that. Adele and I were volunteering at the Castle Shannon Library for their book sale.
The what?
the Castle Shannon Library.
Library.
Library, yeah.
No, up in Castle Shannon we call it Library.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, we went to Fall Fest.
Cool. Yeah, so, I mean, the weather was awful, so I can't complain too much. But, yeah, kind of we bounced back, so no complaints.
Any questions?
No, we didn't get... let me double check. I did ask for questions, though. Stop yelling at me. Oh, I got one notification.
Let's see if we got a question. What is it? Is it a good question?
It could be a question, or it could be a like. So, we'll see. Here we go. Boom! It was a like. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. No questions. I do like, because like this morning I went through and did all my, you know, the posting of the number ones and stuff. And I always like when I get the creators liking, like Dennis Culver, who wrote Burnouts, liked my tweet. Adam Dalva, who wrote Olivia Twist that came out today, liked my tweet. So it's just kind of neat. You know, at least the creators see, hey, I'm trying to promote your stuff.
Yeah.
I complimented I read Mr. Miracle and immediately tweeted, holy crap, Mr. Miracle, just wow. And then three thumbs up and Mitch Jarrett's like that. That made me happy.
Nice.
That was a good issue. Oh, was it? Man, was that a good issue.
Only one issue left, right?
Yep. Yep. Oh, that was good. That was really good.
I guess they canceled the sequel to Vision.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That was a big thing. Wow, that that's right. That's the past news we've been missing.
Yes.
Well, when you said Mitch Jarrett, I thought Tom King, and I was like, oh, Vision.
Yeah, that was in the Marvel Mailer just saying that it had been canceled and will not be resolicited. And I'm like, what the heck? Because that's just in the current previews. We haven't even ordered it. So I've seen people online going, oh, it had low orders. I'm like, no, it had no orders. The orders had not gone in.
You couldn't have even done it yet,
No, orders have not gone in on that.
And the creative team has been very vocal about...
Because they asked them to keep it quiet, and they kind of went, no. So, yeah, because they had four issues done. And then they canceled it because they want to go a different way with the characters. And, and they've been working on it since before the end
of Mockingbird. They were hired before Tom King was done with his run.
Yeah, but they knew he was leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I can see her being...
That kind of blew up.
Yeah. But one interesting thing is for all the fans of her who want to protest, she has a new book coming out next week called Maneaters. So she does have work.
An image book, right?
Yeah, image book.
It's about Hall & Oates, right?
No, I think it's about women who, at that time of the month, turn into like feral cats, and like the fate of humanity rests on this one 12-year-old girl. I believe that was like the solicit for number one.
Okay.
And the number one has a cat's paw, and then it has a fancy glitter variant. But those are shipping next week.
Oh, fancy glitter variant.
Glitter variant, yes.
Glitter gets everywhere.
Well, I don't think it's that kind of glitter.
Yeah, okay.
So, I want to compliment DC on Batman Damned. There was a lot of gnashing of teeth.
Dong and all?
No, there was a lot of gnashing of teeth on the retailer thing about the size and the format and
everything.
No, we're talking about the shape of the book because it is magazine
size, format, shape. We're still sounds like we're talking about, okay.
And I ordered what I thought was really strong, especially because I think it's a $6 book and $7 book. So I ordered a lot. I normally do about 105 Batman, and I ordered 75 of this one, and we sold out today. So, and I read it last night, and I thought it was excellent. So
shout out to Tim. He sent me a little text message, asked me if I wanted a copy, because we're down to two left.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So luckily it's still in stock, so I can get more.
I was kicking myself because I thought I put it on my pull list, but I must not have.
Okay. So. Yeah, but I was really happy with how that did, and how good it was. It was really, really good because I'd like seen some art and pages and.
Mm-hmm. I love Lieber Mejia's art.
Yeah, but so when you get in and really are reading it, it was outstanding.
Because I finally read Joker this weekend.
Oh, that was good.
That was a
close. If it was out in a paperback, I would have done it for book club. But I felt bad for whatever the price is.
$19.
Yeah. So for book club,
it's actually not bad for
a hardcover. It's not. No. It's not bad, but it's not a big. It's not a lot of story.
Well, plus it's Batman all, so you get double points. So,
true.
You know.
Well, I went another way. You can gladly pick up a copy, but I went another way for book club.
Okay. You picked a good book too.
I did. I thought so. I need to reread that. Yeah, I think Josh did make a comment.
Yeah. Yeah, Pat.
I didn't take credit. Yeah,
can't you think are of getting old. You just kind of like.
No, I was thinking. Is there anything else? Anything else that I was thinking about?
Gotta crank him back up again.
Yeah. Well, at least he can start telling a story about when he used to ride the trolley for a nickel. I'm sorry. In Chicago, it's called the L.
So I think that's about all. I don't really have any rants or anything to go on.
You haven't had like a solid rant in a while.
No, I'm trying to be calmer and happier, and I got a lot going on anyway. So
my focus,
but it's going to get a lot better very soon.
Soon. The finish line is near.
The finish line is near. Yes. Then I think I'm going to have all the time in the world. You know. So.
Yeah. Well.
But, so, Pat.
Yeah.
What did you read?
I read Detective Comics.
That was good.
Was it? A good detective. I have it. The cover, I took that home because of the cover. That was a cover that makes you
want to buy a book.
Like Green Lantern this week.
Yeah.
That is a cover. I mean, I took it home only because the cover has Cyborg Superman sitting on, is it a throne or is it somebody's chair?
A throne,
chair?
And then like there's a bunch of you know, bodies.
But
and
with a Green Lantern symbol saying, mm-hmm. Welcome to the new Green Lantern Corps. It's like,
yeah.
What? So, yeah, that's what covers need to be. And they're not.
Yeah, let them sell books.
Yeah, they've forgotten that.
Yeah, but it was just a good detective story.
Okay.
I like the banter between him and Gordon at the beginning. Clearly, it's kind of funny how, you have in Batman, he's clearly kind of recuperating from what happened with Catwoman. And now we're starting to see it in Detective to where he's off.
Mm-hmm.
But just something has got...
I am glad that they are not just brushing that under the rug and acting like nothing, it's business as usual, nothing happened.
Yeah.
I like that we're seeing an impact of that throughout his books and in the Catwoman book, too.
Well, I'm not reading the Catwoman book, but yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot to read.
It was good.
Was it? Yeah, I forgot.
Creepy. The man, I'll talk about it later on, but the villain they're established in that book.
Oh, that lady. Yeah.
Oh, wow. She is very creepy, very evil. Yeah, they're doing a good job there.
I didn't read a ton, but I'm happy. I think I read three that I know you guys didn't. So.
Okay.
Sorry,
yeah,
back
but,
to detective.
Yeah, so, there's a guy was murdered, he was mugged, and... Batman kind of just said, something's not right here.
Shot with multiple guns.
Yeah, my gut's telling me something's not right here. So he goes to investigate the guy's house or his apartment. Lo and behold, there's a secret room, and then he gets attacked by Firefly. But it's not the regular Firefly, it's a female Firefly.
Yeah. Lady Firefly.
Yeah, Lady Firefly. And then, as he's dealing with her, then he finds the male Firefly.
Yeah.
So
and before they show up, like he finds this like crazy hidden room in the dude's apartment that was killed.
Yeah, it has like target like a target list and a
map.
Yeah,
it looks almost like he's an assassin or something.
Yeah. Very much like a hitman's, mm-hmm. Kind of hidden room.
Yeah.
So they're torching the whole building, and Batman does what he does and saves people. There's a scene with the dog. Where an old lady won't leave because she can't get her dog, and Batman's like, "Here, go." But that, I really enjoyed that book.
Yeah, it was a pretty good issue.
Ninja K.
I read that. Yeah, that ties in kind of with Harbinger Wars 2 a little bit.
Okay, because I saw all this stuff about Livewire, and I assume that that's what they were talking about.
Yeah.
Didn't know for sure.
Yeah,
so,
that was referencing kind of how things ended up with them and at the end of that event.
Okay. So this is, he's on the hunt for Galad, and...
I'm really happy that they're picking up this storyline from Wrath of the Eternal Warrior with the Deathless, dude.
Yeah.
So that guy finally, managed to find a way to get Galad's body, and with Galad's body as his host, then he knows he doesn't have to go through the whole, like, you know, dying and then being reborn, or bouncing into some other random person's body. So, yeah, I'm glad they're picking them back up again. I'm glad to see a return of the Eternal Warrior, because I've been missing his presence in the Valiant Universe.
Yeah, I hope... I know it'll be a while, but I hope they bring another series with him, because I really enjoyed that last one a lot.
Yeah.
But the giant dick move his handler, you know, yeah, we'll tell you where he is.
Yeah,
but
Neville,
only if yeah Neville Alcott. Right, yeah. But only if you promise to go after Livewire.
Yeah, or at least give them information about where Livewire's at.
Yeah. But him and Livewire have a conversation because he had embedded code in a gossip website, and
yeah,
it was like it's very much a cloak and dagger type thing to do.
Which he now knows where she's at, supposedly, but whether he'll actually divulge information or not, we'll see.
Yeah. I like this so far better than I liked the last arc. I really liked the first one.
I like these espionage arcs, like these ones that play up the cold, like, spy thing a bit more, mm-hmm. which is what this one feels like it was doing.
Yeah. And I'm hoping to see more of the previous Ninja Program candidates.
Yeah.
Because there was even the line that Neville threw out there about, well, if you don't do it, we're going to send your
replacements or whatever.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah,
backups.
That's not going to work. But yeah, I've really enjoyed those arcs.
Yeah, so. this has been a good book.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's all you got, Josh. What do you got?
Supergirl. 22. So the
I haven't read any of these. Jermaine's really pumping, really pushing this thing. It really ties in. Yeah,
it ties in a lot to like the whole, you know, Rogue Lazar thing that's going on. But it's a neat take for the character, and it separates the character from like the Earthbound stuff that's going on. So it really gives Kara, you know, room to breathe and be her own character in the Super Family, but. This one, she's going to MOGO to check out the archives there, because whenever she encountered Hal Jordan, they found out there was information about the axe that she has from Rogue Lazar, but there was a lot of like redacted information.
Oh, okay.
So she wanted to go to MOGO and see what she could find in the archives. And when she gets there, she doesn't want to be very forthcoming with them about why she's there. So she says she's there to do some research, and they say, okay, whatever you need. But then she finds out there is, like, the very sensitive archives as well, so she kind of breaks into that. And throughout the issue, we find out the axe is a power source of sorts.
Okay.
Like, it reacted to something and ended up blowing up her ship when she was approaching MOGO. And then it reacted again when she was caught in the archives. It looked like it was almost trying to protect her in an automated fashion. And as things are escalating, the Green Lanterns think that she might be a threat, and she's trying to tell them, you know, no, back down, I'm not, you know, I don't have control of this axe. Then it looks like she was teleported somewhere with the, you know, with the very, like, Jor-El-esque hologram of a guardian.
Okay.
The guardian that was, you know, around whenever, like, Rogue Lazar carried out his mission initially, saying, you know, we did something awful, and if you're a Kryptonian, you're here, then you must be here trying to find information about what happened and our role in this. But yeah, it's been a really good storyline so far.
Cool.
Is it Kevin Maguire? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, the art's been really good.
Okay.
Yeah, I've really been liking it.
So did the Greens not know who she was?
They knew she was. Like, they knew who, like, she was welcomed by, you know, Jon Stewart and Kyle Rayner and everyone, but...
Well, like, she was a Red with Guy.
Yeah.
So, you know...
They were perfectly fine with her. It was whenever she broke into their more sensitive archives, and then a random Green Lantern, you know, shows up saying, you know, what are you doing here? And then she has this giant axe that, you know, energy starts coming out of it, and it looks like she's about to do some crazy shit with it.
Okay.
So then it escalates. So that's, yeah. It just kind of got
like,
out of hand.
Unless they're just saying, no, that
like,
never happened.
And, like, Crypto's trying to protect her also, saying, like, Crypto jumps in the fray, and...
Okay.
Yeah. There was, like, a neat scene where she's, you know, she realizes it's not de-escalating, so she calls Crypto for help. Crypto's, like, passed out asleep in their room, and then wakes up and just, like, bolts over there to help her out. But No, it's good. I've been enjoying it. Hawkman has been another really, really fun one. This book reads a lot like a, you know, Indiana Jones meets Hawkman kind of book. So it's very much a, he's you know, trying to investigate these different things that are linked to his past. And in this issue, he is somehow, like, teleported to Thanagar, and he is encountering another version of himself and trying to convince him that he's not this, you know, villain from there that actually killed, you know, the Thanagar version of his father.
Okay.
But the art's been fantastic. The story's been fun. It just it feels like a fun adventure book. So nothing, like, the stakes never feel too serious.
Okay.
It's a quick, like, just really fun read. What else? Catwoman. Like I said, the villain in Catwoman is super creepy.
Yeah. Well, the first episode when she took off all of her appliances.
Yeah. And just showing, like, how she has manipulated and used people throughout the years. To get where she's at right now, and how quickly she discards people that are no longer of value to her. And we find out kind of what they wanted with Catwoman, and why they had all these, like, Catwoman doppelgangers.
Okay.
And realize kind of the extent of their power with, like, this mind control abilities. Okay. And they have all these senior citizens essentially attacking Catwoman at this cocktail party and overwhelming her. To the point where she ends up getting thrown out of a window and pretty banged up. See, I told
you, there's a reason to punch an old lady in the face.
There is. There absolutely is. What else did I read? Titans. Titans was actually pretty good. I've been on the fence about this book, but this issue was actually a really, really good issue. So the team has been... This book has been tied in a lot with what's happened with, like, the Source Wall.
Okay.
And the new energy that kind of, you know... gotten into their universe with the Source Wall cracking. So they're dealing with all these, like, emergent threats, and there's been a lot of friction on the team because Martian Manhunter put Ms. Martian on the team as a liaison, but they all view her as, like, a babysitter. So I was kind of getting tired of the whole, like, bickering with her and Dick Grayson. So this issue, there's three emergent threats happening at the same time, so they decided to split up into different groups. And they send Donna Troy off after one, Raven and Beast Boy and Steel are going after another one, then Dick and Ms. Martian going after the third one. And just each of the different threats were handled very differently, and especially, like, the ones with Dick and Ms. Martian, where they were sucked into this this woman's, like, television, and were having to play out parts in different shows. Like, she would change the channel, and it's just the art was really good. I think it was the same artist for the whole thing, but, like, every scene felt different, and it was a really, really interesting take on how they were following all three of these different stories the same time, and then brought them all together, you know, at the end. But cool. This was good. Like I said, I was on the fence, and this issue kind of convinced me to stick with it now.
So. Cool.
And Wonder Woman 54.
Oh, I thought you were done with Wonder Woman.
No.
Okay.
No, I've been enjoying Wonder Woman a lot.
Okay, good.
What I didn't like, what I was done with temporarily, I normally love the Jenny Frison covers. I didn't like the vacation-themed Jenny Frison covers, so I was done with those for a couple issues.
Okay.
But now they're back to normal, so. So Wonder Woman Artemis found Wonder Woman's aunt, who had been, you know, lost for several years, and she was, like, the leader of the Bon Magdal tribe, like an offshoot of the Amazons from Themyscira.
Okay.
Like, I guess they were a more nomadic group and left.
They got off the island. So.
They didn't want to be on this island.
Hard to be nomadic on an island.
They left Themyscira and you know, were just, you know, nomads in our normal world. So they're trying to take her. One thing that this book is reintroduced, which I do think is kind of silly, but whatever, the Invisible Jet is back. I still think the Invisible Jet's a dumb thing. But
yeah, especially since she can fly.
Yeah, but whatever. It's just,
well, if you got to carry something or some people, you know?
She's like giant plush armchairs in the cockpit and everything. It's kind of crazy. But regardless, so the three of them are going to the home of this tribe. And apparently the tribe has been more settled than they have in the past. So whereas in the past they were very nomadic, now they've like stayed in the same place for several years. And it looks like this group is about to go to war with the country that they've been residing in, essentially. And we found out that the one guy that we saw in that, I think, Suicide Squad versus Justice League crossover, was named, like, Rustum. The guy that had, like, the, like, those energy whip kind of things.
I don't remember that.
He was the guy that, like, that Amanda Waller backstabbed, and he wanted to kill her. I guess that's pretty broad.
That
describes a lot of people because she's kind of an asshole, but...
Yeah.
Regardless, he's there as, like, this advisor to the queen of these people, and it's clear that he has a different agenda. Like, it looks like he's trying to force him into war with this nation because of issues he has with the nation, and it seems like he's going to then turn on them afterwards. And then the queen of the, you know, these Amazons takes action against the ant, even though she's a founder of this group, but she views her as a threat. And it was good. It was just it's continuing the story that was told in the previous two issues, but it still feels like a good jumping on point almost, even though it's issue three. But it's just it's interesting take that's focusing solely on like Wonder Woman and Artemis and the Amazon, which I think is something that people were wanting for a while, because for a while it seemed like there was a lot of focus just on Wonder Woman's brother, where, okay, you know, I know I didn't mind it. It wasn't the best, but I know there was a lot of issues with, that people had with that focus. But I think this puts it back where, you know, where people wanted the book to be at. And then the last one I'll mention is Wicked and Divine 39. So this is finishing up the penultimate arc of the series. So another one of the books that I've been reading for a while was coming to an end. This book is getting crazy. Like I don't know how the hell they're gonna wrap this book up. So it looks like, because apparently throughout time, this whole thing with the gods coming back ties back with these two sisters. Like the one woman we saw that was like the liaison to these gods, she's the one that's kind of behind all this. But apparently she had a twin sister, and this was some sort of like some sort of feud that they had, and every time they go through this iteration of these, you know, gods being reborn and living for 2 years and then going away for another, you know, however many years, is how she managed to stay alive throughout history. But it looks like there is some sort of, you know, way to break the loop or you know, thwart her plans, and the sister who, you know, is long gone just kind of put her hopes in that one day, you know, one of the gods will figure this out. And I guess Persephone is her addition to the pantheon. So that was essentially like, you know, the sister was killed, that was her god that she, you know, is throwing into the fray, whereas the others are the creation of like the one who's, you know, killing them. And it's very confusing because it seems like at first, because Persephone is pregnant, it seemed like if her pregnancy was tied to them, possibly. Oh, you're still here? You could have been hanging out the whole time in the podcast. We've been talking. I see. You swoop
He's
in.
Too cool.
Bring beer. It's fine. Yeah. You're still my hero. It seemed like her pregnancy was the key to, you know, breaking this loop. But then it seemed like maybe that was just an idea that was planted in the one sister's head to throw her off with the actual... I don't know. It's confusing, but it's really good. Things have gotten, like, crazy at this point. Persephone says she's not a god anymore. Seems like she's depowered, but then she seems to have power still. Like, just shit's getting real. There's one arc left. Don't jump on now, but come by the trades. I think Tim's been reading it.
I read the first really trade. I really enjoyed it, but...
Yeah, it's such a different book.
Yeah.
And it feels like every arc they throw me for a different loop.
Okay.
Like, I never know what to expect of this book, but it's consistently, you know, great storytelling, consistently great art, so, yeah.
Cool.
And that's it.
Sorry, you yawn.
You're up, announcing you're yawning.
Okay, Superman? Anybody read Superman?
I read Superman.
I'm not loving Superman. It's not bad. I like action better. I like that story
better.
I've
been liking it. I didn't love this past issue.
Yeah. In this one, it's revealed that, what was it, Star Labs accidentally did something which caused them to go into the Phantom Zone because they were doing random testing or something.
Yeah.
And Rogel Czar is now gathering an army in the Phantom Zone to attack. And all the heroes are becoming poisoned by the Phantom Zone. And Superman's trying to deal with it. So, I mean, interesting, but I'm enjoying the almost the mystery aspect of action more.
Yeah, action is definitely the stronger title right now. Just funny, because for a while Superman was
the
stronger title.
Oh, yeah, it was
title.
So good, yeah.
But it's not bad.
No,
by no means
not at all.
It's bad.
No,
it's just,
no.
Yeah.
Yep. And then three others that you guys didn't. Dave, I think, might have read a couple of these. But Moth and Whisper. This is a new one from Aftershock. Really, really neat book. Moth and Whisper are two elite thieves who are rivals. Moth is able to transform herself to, like, any disguise and to be a thief. And they both leave, like, a calling card so that people know who got them. Whisper is a master of stealth and can get in and out of anything without being seen. And they're hired by, you know, the people, you know, who do espionage against others and use them against one another and things like that. And they're
so spy versus spy.
Kind of, yes. Except spy versus spy are actually married and have a kid. And they're actually working against everybody. You know, using people, you know, they steal information from this person and then use it against that person because they don't realize that they're working together as opposed to working at opposite ends.
I apparently remember Spy versus Spy very different.
Well, I don't know, but I'm just saying that's what...
Like Mad Magazine.
Right, right. No, no, I get it. But yeah, so that's how this is going. Well, now they're missing, and they've left a message for their daughter, basically saying, you know, if you're getting this message, we've been off the grid for X amount of time, you need to go hide and go here. Well, in here, it turns out Mom's... big thing is like this suit where she can like put on a mask and it'll change her makeup, and it has clothing that can change you know, configurations and things, so she's not so much a master of disguise, she just has a really cool costume that does this work. And same with Dad. So now she's kind of she's got to put up the air of she's taking jobs as her parents to do these things, and one of it turns out that they accidentally like Dad had double crossed this guy who he hired her to capture, you know, to try to kill him. But she didn't realize that. She, you know, her dad would have known not to take that job. She didn't. And also she's trying to figure out what happened to her parents. But it was really good. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really well done in a different story I hadn't read before. Cemetery Beach. This is a new one from Warren Ellis and Josh Howard. Neat. Starts off, this guy's been captured. He's being interrogated. And it turns out there's this other dimension that people found a pathway to. So this guy went from Earth to explore this place, and basically this place has now kind of been taken over by this leader, and there's factions and all this stuff on it. And you're not exactly sure where we are or what's going on, but it turns out, and he's telling the story about something. Well, it turns out the story's about him, and this main character is from Earth investigating this, and he then escapes, breaks out this woman who's also in a another cell, just kind of like, hey, you don't want to burn in here, do you? Come on. And she kind of then leads him, and you realize just how different this other world is and stuff like that. It was neat. It was, you know, more than else. Interesting concept. And then the last one I read was the first book from a new company called Ahoy Comics, which is Tom Pyre.
Is that a pirate book?
It is not a pirate book, although I think today was Talk Like a Pirate Day. I did miss that.
Really?
I was distracted.
I didn't know it.
I think Tim failed. The Wrong Earth, really interesting. Basically, it starts off with a very Batman 66 story. The hero Dragonfly Man and his sidekick Stinger are strapped to the big thing. And
I thought that was the Brown Hornet's sidekick.
I don't these lasers are going to, you know, zap them, and the bad guy's telling him his plan, and the bad guy's name is number one, and he also has number two and number three, and he's, you know, just completely vain, and everything's about him, and they get out of it because number three got too close, and Dragonfly Man was able to grab his number three badge off his shirt, and he throws that, and that breaks the machine, and they escape. As they're and then in story two is a very Dark Knight Returns Dragonfly. He's no longer Dragonfly Man, he's just Dragonfly. And this is another world. Stinger's dead, he's been killed by number one, who has a big scar, one, over his eye, and he's draining the blood from this guy, this kid that's sitting next to him, you know, basically saying, you know, why should the youth have all the good, and just very Dark Knight Returns, very twisted, really evil. So as each of these number ones have this mirror, this special mirror, and as they're being attacked by Dragonfly Man or Dragonfly, they go into the mirror and the heroes follow them and they kind of switch worlds. So in the Batman 66 Earth, number one comes through, sees Stinger, who he had killed on the other Earth, and basically says to him, you know what, you look better dead, and stabs him in the gut. To which number two, who's the girlfriend on the good Earth, is like, oh my God, you know, is trying to help him. Then on the bad Earth, you have Batman 66, trying to round up the bad guys, and the cops show up, and he's, you know, police, we need you. Well, the cops shoot him down because he's a vigilante on that Earth, and he's bleeding out then on the ground, and that's how it ended. It was really good. You know, for something kind of simple, it was really very enjoyable.
I will second Another Earth, or The Wrong Earth.
The Wrong Earth. Okay, Tim liked it too.
Really
now, I didn't get to all the extras, which was really cool, because it ended right at the middle of the book at the staple, but it did say page 20 or 22, so you got a full story. Then it had, there was a backup story about Stinger, like almost like a cartoon type. You had an interview with Jamal Igel, who was the artist on it. And then there was a text piece by Grant Morrison, which I did not read. But I'm like, so there was a ton of stuff at the back, almost like a magazine. I think that's kind of what they're trying to go for. So I was very impressed by that. It was really a really good story. And I thought it was really well executed, good art. You know, lots of extras I just didn't have a chance to get to. Out. I should have more coming in on Thursday. But that was good. Yeah, I didn't go big on it because it's a brand new company and you never know.
Yeah.
But I was very, very pleasantly impressed. Not surprised, but I was impressed by it. So, that's all I read. I'm working on it. I'm going to work on it.
It's all right. So what's coming out next week, Connor?
Ton! Every book under the sun is coming out next week. Uh-oh. Somebody turned.
GoBots?
You know, I didn't check. I know there is a new GoBots book coming, but I think we're just ordering it now. It's not
every
week.
Book under the sun's not coming out.
Well, it's covered. Okay. So, next week, we have Action 1003, Amazing Spider-Man 6. We have Archie Meets Batman 66, number 3, that I'm ordering a ridiculous number of. I highlighted that for Dave, but he's not here. Man. Batman Kings of Fear, number 2. Bone Parish, number 3. I highlighted this one for a reason. We also have Cold Spots, number 2. And then all the way at the end, we have X-Men Blue, number 36, which is the last issue. The only reason I bring this up, those are all by Cullen Bunn. There had been a little thread recently about creators and when they almost gave up and things like that. And he was mentioning how in the last year he's been really down and thought his career was over and everything. And I responded back to him, like, you only had like 4 books come out last week. And he's like, no, it was only 3. You know, I have to work harder. So I was just kind of kidding about that, and he has 3 books coming out next week. I'm like, 3 books for most writers is a quarter. You know, that's 3 months worth, but he's doing 3 a week. So that was just fun talking to him. Detective, 989. Domino Annual. Doomsday Clock, number 7. You know, in case you've been reading that or enjoying that. Extermination, number 3. Tim has been anxiously awaiting Extermination. It is late. It was a July book, so it should have shipped in September. So it is late. Faith Dreamside, number 1, a little four-parter. Fearscape, I'm not 100% sure what this is, but I have a lot of them coming. Frendo, which I think is a Black Mask book. Gamma is a new one.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Is it the guy from No Country for Old Men?
Frendo?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Gamma is a new one from, I think, like Ulysses Farinas. It's a Image or a Dark Horse book. Harbinger Wars 2 Aftermath.
Aftermath.
If you're looking forward to the Aftermath, it's here. Heroes in Crisis, number one, the new one, Tom King and Clay Mann, I believe.
Yes.
We have High Heaven, which is the second book from Ahoy Comics. And the idea behind this one is you have a malcontent who dies and goes to heaven, but he's never happy about anything, so there he is in heaven, and nothing's good enough for him up there.
By the way, the internet is full of Batman penis jokes today, and yeah. It is absolutely wonderful. The schlong Halloween.
Yeah. Nice.
The Batawang.
I've heard that. The Batawang is, I've heard many times, yes.
The Killing Stroke.
Nice. We have Infinity Wars Iron Hammer, where they're doing their warps stuff. We have Justice League Dark number 3 that I've been really enjoying, and we have Justice League Odyssey number 1. Maneaters number 1, which I talked about a little bit, by that's Chelsea Kane. We have, and the new previews is next week. Punisher number 2, which took a little while. That should have actually been out in August, but I think they had to change the artist on that one.
That was kind of weird anyway, because the look on the cover is very Dolph Lundgren, but the look inside the book is not.
You've been waiting for it. You're giddy about it. I'm so happy I can finally give you this. Spider-Geddon Zero is coming next week. I know you guys are excited. We have Star Trek versus Transformers. I already have Josh down for this one. Stranger Things. Yeah, you want it. Stranger Things, which is exploring Will's story when he was in the Upside Down. You don't want Star Trek Transformers? Aww.
It sounds like a great book.
No? No, you sure?
Oh, I was trying to talk crap about it on the podcast, okay. But I don't think I want it.
Okay,
we'll see. Enough. I'll see how the reviews are, but at first glance, that one seems like a bit too
Star Trek, Green Lantern Corps. That one worked
because that I don't know.
No, that one it worked.
It worked.
Okay, yeah. I got another book coming that you're gonna want. We have Uncle Scrooge, My First Millions. That was for Dave. He's not here.
I also didn't do the Planet of the Apes crossover after. After I heard it was the Primate Directive, I was like, no. I'm done. Wow.
I thought that was pretty good, actually.
It's good, but that tells me, like, this is not going to even be, like, try to be serious at all.
Yeah.
Vampirella Deja Thoris. You got Vampirella, you got Deja. Well, why not put them together? Yes. I've seen the cosplay covers. And this is the one you're going to want. That's Wicked and Divine.
I was talking about earlier.
Wicked and Divine 1373 one shot.
Ooh, yeah. They're doing like two special issues or one shots, and then the new arc is coming out.
Okay.
The last arc.
X-Men Blue, I already talked about. And then we have Exo Manowar number 19 starting a new arc.
You had multiple books for me. Still.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that one you're already getting, but the Wicked and Divine I thought you'd be happy about.
I am happy about it.
So, book club is coming up on the 5th. I had to move it because next Friday, which is when it should have been, I will be in Baltimore going.
Living it up.
Attending the Comics Pro meeting on Thursday down at the Baltimore Comic Con. And I'll be coming back Friday. I want to do a little bit of conning just to say hi to people. Well, it's going to be fun. Like, I don't know if Matthew Rosenberg is going to be there, but I've seen him there the last two times I went to that one, and it was funny. The first time he just did all by himself a little table that he was doing. We Can Never Go Home. Then the last time, I think he kind of started. It was four kids walking to a bank, but maybe he was getting a little buzz, and then now he's superstar.
Yeah.
So it'd be kind of fun to see him, just because he does know who I am. So, got in the grassroots.
Colin!
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, get a big hug. Yeah. I got to look. But lots of really good guests there. So, I got to see, like, Capullo and Snyder and King and Jared's. And so, I think Jared's is going to be there. But, cool. Lots of cool stuff. So, but I'm going there on business, sir. No, I just got my...
You're a board member.
I am. I just got my reservation confirmation for
that means you get access room. To the Hookers and Blow Suite.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, bonus to get we. So that's all I got. All the exciting stuff has passed, so we're just kind of riding out September until we get to October, where also all sorts of fun stuff will be happening. But yeah, this was a really good week of books. Next week looks to be a really good week of books. Hopefully I get more of that Batman Damned in. I cannot believe how much we sold of that. That was really good.
Especially at $7, yeah.
Yeah, but it was good. I mean, but it also had the size. It was, the presentation was good. It was
It's a gorgeous book. It feels like it's worth the
square
price of admission.
Yeah.
My concern with that is always like, how am I going to store it? Yeah. But whatever. Yeah.
A lot of times you can just slide it down the side of your box.
I don't want to do that.
So,
joke aside, I don't want to.
As always, you can always find me here at the store. You can contact me. PittsburghComics.com is the website. Facebook, Pittsburgh Comics. Instagram and Twitter, PGH Comics. I think that's all we got. Josh!
Well, that's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.